Welcome to RC Hangar Time, a podcast dedicated to the radio-controlled aviation hobby, where each week, our hosts discuss everything from airplanes to helicopters and everything in between.
Sounds legit.
Shot.
Bam. Already?
Drunk.
All right, this is episode number 54 of RC Hangar Time. We've got a new host with us that we've added in. You guys may recognize him from a few shows ago. This is Chris Poldovart.
So, hey, guys.
What's up, Chris?
Oh, nothing, man. Just enjoying life right now.
Awesome. Wade and Dustin's also there. So who wants to start us off with what they've done this week? Crickets?
How about you, Mike?
Yeah, you go, Mike. You never go first.
You finally got your fly badge.
I did. I flew something. I finished up the Bixler. I did the maiden on it Sunday afternoon. Got a couple flights in on it, and I'm pretty pleased with it so far. It flies all right. I still need to work out a few things with the CG. I get a little bit of up and down bobbing with it, but other than that, it's pretty quick. That I'm happy with that motor and that setup, so I'm glad it's fast. Next, I need to set up the GoPro on it and get some video of it. And then hopefully, we'll see, maybe FPV on it. I don't know if I'll put FPV on it or just get a wing. I'll tool around with this for a while and see if I can get used to flying it. And I also have been flying the 130X out front and out in the little cul-de-sac a little bit here and there. This weekend, got it up and going again and throwing it around and having some fun with that. So I actually did some flying this weekend. After what? 2 months?
It's been a while.
2 years.
I know. Might as well have been 2 years.
At least you actually had something to say this week on, what'd you do, Mike?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I got more stuff coming, so hopefully the weather will hold out and I'll have some more stuff up and flying here this weekend. You know, it's kind of hard for me to get out and work on things during the week. I've got a pretty busy schedule during the week with other things in life, but weekends I'm usually out working on stuff. So weekend, get to the next project. How about you,
Wade?
And
the Bixler, did you find it was a little bit tail heavy or did it balance okay?
No, it seemed a little tail heavy on mine. It seemed
normal.
I need to push the, but I figured I'm gonna put the GoPro on the nose. I'm not gonna put it where the canopy is, so I'm gonna cut the nose off a little bit and put the GoPro up front. So I think that'll help out a lot with the CG on that, because I was getting a lot of up and down bobbing. Like when I'd let off the throttle, the nose would come up a little.
What size battery did you run in it?
2200.
Oh, God, that's way too small.
Yeah, that's
I ended up running two 2200s on mine to get it balanced right, which was great because really? More battery means more flight time.
Because I flew that thing around. I mean, I flew that thing around for 5 minutes, and I landed it, brought it in, and checked the battery, and I was still at like 86%. So I chucked it up again and flew it around for another 5 minutes. But I wasn't on it on the throttle because that thing, it gets away from me pretty quick,
fast,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I let off the throttle and was just coasting around and cruising around like at quarter throttle. And then, you know, it was a pretty quick little plane.
My Bixler, if I just want to mess around and not really worried about anything, I usually run a 4-cell 2650. Mm-hmm. I get about 19 minutes worth of flight time with that. And then I run two, and I can get double that. I can be up to 40 minutes if I want. So, and I push it all the way to the nose as far as it'll go.
Wow. What motor are you running?
I'm running a 2830, 1350 KV.
Oh, okay.
And a 10, or no, a 9.4. Might be a 9.5 prop.
Wow.
That's what I run on that. And it's got plenty of power. It's fast. And
do you put a small parts motor mount on that to get that prop on?
Yeah, well, no, I just bought the Hobby King motor mount upgrade. I kind of like how it keeps that angle.
Yeah, I had that on there, but I ended up taking it off.
Yeah, it's a nice motor mount. I have that same one. Cool. So who wants to go next? How about Wade? What have you been doing, Wade?
I've been working. I flew a gig, what was it, Saturday night. It was one of the weirdest gigs ever. But I did some videography and still photography and time-lapse photography for a art studio.
Was that indoors?
It was indoor and outdoor. Okay. And
I saw some of the pictures.
That was just some quick phone pictures I took. But I'm editing the video now and I'm going to incorporate a time-lapse. I actually took a time-lapse with the GoPro on super wide. And you could see the entire event from kind of up above. It was about 20 feet up in the air. And the entire five-hour event was captured in 30 seconds. It's so cool, man. You got to see it. everybody was dressed in white. And it was at night and most of the eating and stuff took place outdoors. And then they had a huge wall of lights out there. So, you know, we'll see how the video came out. I was using the Hero 3 Plus Black to do my recording and that didn't do so hot in the night.
Yeah, those things don't have any kind of night vision capability at all.
I hear you got a new GoPro.
So I went, I did that. Yeah, I got now I have a 3 Plus Silver, 3 Plus Black, and a Hero 4 Black. So yeah, I've got a new one. I got the Hero 4. I bought it yesterday.
Like how he throws it in there like it's no big deal.
I'm just the first guy to have one.
Well, yeah, I didn't know because I contacted Best Buy and they just told me they didn't have any in. And I didn't believe them, so I went online. And it said available for store pickup. But on GoPro and all the other websites, it said that it wasn't going to be released until this morning. So I went and picked it up.
Did they give any hassle about it not being?
No. No, these guys are kind of, the people here, they're kind of slow.
Did you buy the extended or the protection warranty on it?
No, I don't ever buy that crap. GoPro's been pretty good with me for replacing stuff.
So have you played with it much yet? What's your initial thoughts on the new one versus, say, the 3 Plus?
I've definitely played with it a little bit. It's not just another rendition. Like, I was really let down by the 3 Plus because it didn't seem like much had changed. But the 4 is a completely different camera. The interface, the picture quality, the sound quality is ridiculous. It's just a whole new, better camera. Like, totally worth the money.
Interesting.
Yeah, really the only thing they changed between the 3 and the 3 Plus was the CPU. I don't think they really changed much of anything else.
Yeah, and then what I really like about what they did with this new one is you got three new cameras that came out. You got the Hero, which is $139. You can't beat that for a 1080p camera action cam. You know, for in my mind, because it's GoPro, and I just know that they make quality stuff in my mind, you know, with my opinion. Then you got the Silver, the Hero 4 Silver, which comes with an integrated touchscreen on the back. Like, you can't beat that. You know, and then the Hero 4 Black, which is the better one that shoots 4K at 30 frames a second, doesn't even have a screen on the back. But that 4K is amazing. Even if you don't have 4K viewing capability, you can just see. Like, my computer screen was just loving that. It looks so good.
My only scare is the amount of storage space it's going to take to save and edit all those videos.
Okay, I'll put it to you like this. I recorded a 1-minute video. It took up 5.56 gigabytes.
Oh, gosh.
Jeez. So you're going to have a pretty sweet PC on the back end, too, to render or process your video.
Yeah, yeah. I have the 3770 processor, which is the i7 quad-core hyper-threading, 16 gigabyte of RAM, and it's the 1600 megahertz RAM. It's fast. Like, my computer is fast. dedicated graphics, 2 gig, and it was struggling.
Wow. Well, I guess I'm going to hold off then, because I'm doing video editing on a circa 2011 MacBook Pro.
See, I think the MacBook actually might handle it a little bit better, to be honest with you. They're usually pretty good. They're a lot better than your Windows computers for video editing for some reason. I've always had better luck with them.
Hmm. Interesting. But sad thing is I'm running Windows on it.
Yeah. Well, just run if you're going to do it, just run like a 1080p. If you ever get it, run 1080p S. It's like the 1080 Super View. It is ridiculous.
Nice.
I want to say it's like 140 degree viewing angle. It's like a panoramic, live panoramic view. It's dumb.
So does it still have the wide angle like lens that the GoPro usually has?
It does, in the bigger resolutions, the higher resolutions. But you can, it's a 10-minute ordeal to get rid of it through the GoPro editor.
Okay.
Or through, After Effects or Adobe Premiere or something like that.
Hey, another rabbit hole. Does the GoPro editor have stabilization editing in it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, I thought so.
It's not very
good. Check that out. Oh, it's not?
No.
Yeah, forget it. I won't waste my time.
So, if you want a good, all-around, cheap video editing software, another rabbit hole, go with Pinnacle Studio 17.
Yeah, unless you're going to buy the full-blown version of Cineform, the GoPro software, you can't really do a whole lot.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Nice.
I use Sony Vegas Pro, and it works fairly well, but I don't think the stabilization is that great.
That's why I have a gimbal. It was cheaper than buying CS6.
Right? Awesome. Anything else that you've done,
no.
Wade?
No, that's it. I've been taking photos of myself.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, how about you, Dustin? What have you been up to?
Oh, pretty much the same thing. I fly my quads every week, just depending on what I'm going to do. This week I got that the full-size V-tail all put back together, got everything rebuilt, took it out for a couple of test flies, and I brought it back in one piece. It's the first time I've flown it, I think, since I started flipping it without busting up an arm or something. So that came back in one piece. It's ready to fly again. And then I helped a guy with the one of the local fire departments here. He brought me a quad, and it had a KK2 board on it, and he had bought himself a nozzle light, and he was just confused of what to do. So I took that and I put the nozzle on it, did some test flying with that. He also bought one of those Terra 2D gimbals, got that all set up on it, ready for him to take it out and fly. And I got going on my mini VTEL. Got it. I'll probably have it ready to fly by the weekend, I hope. And then worked on my girl's little tricopter, but that's about it. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of in that phase right now with multi-rotors. Just, they're easy to take out, pop up real quick, burn a couple of batteries, and then put them back in the car and take off. I don't have to set a bunch of stuff up or try to find a big place to fly or worry about this or that. They're easy. I can do them real quick, and that's it.
Yeah, and you can like have fly-ins on the side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Sorry, that was a bit much.
You you see something cool on the side of the road, and you just pull over and whip it out and turn your camera on and go. It's like taking a pee.
Yeah,
nice.
Whip it out and shoot.
Do you fly your Bixler at the parks?
Yeah, not. I mean, it's got to be a pretty big park.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I don't think I could fly a mine at a park, because it took off for me like a rocket. And good thing I was at a pretty big place. You know, I went out to Bacchus Highway.
Yeah, I fly, the Taylorsville Park. I can fly the Bixler there.
Yeah.
I can fly it at the back of the West Jordan High School over the football field. And they have a big baseball and a soccer practice field. I can fly there. But some of the other parks, it's pretty tight. you really need two football fields at least to even fly decent patterns.
In a Bixler?
Yeah. I mean,
nah, you just need city streets and some good FPV.
Have you flown a Bixler, Wade?
Yeah, I have it on my YouTube channel.
A fast one?
Yeah, I flew a Bixler before you were even flying helicopters, my friend.
Yeah, right. I've been flying
before
helicopters.
Before Bixler was even born.
Dawn of time.
I was flying Bixlers since before Hobby King copied them.
Since before Hobby King copied them. Awesome.
Did you guys see that? That somebody posted up like a meme or whatever the hell they're called about Hobby King. It's like, why you copy everything?
No, I didn't see that. Who posted that?
I don't know. Yeah, I saw you posted it, Mike.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, it was you?
Yes, it was me.
Shows how much I care about what the hell you say.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'll shut up so other people can talk about their week.
Nobody reads Facebook anyway.
Exactly. Seriously, guys.
That's all I got, though. I know you don't like to hear about multi-rotors, Mike. You're anti-multi-rotor, but that's kind of what I'm into right now.
Technically flies multi-rotors, I'm just saying.
Not yet. Oh, helicopters?
Yeah, it's got two rotors.
Okay, well, I'll take one off, and it can just be a rotor.
You know, I was going to make that argument one time that a helicopter was technically a multi-rotor because it had two rotors. And I remember somebody that countered that argument before I ever got a chance to make it. And it made sense, the counter, and it had something to do with, the main control rotor or something like that. I'll have to try and remember what that was. But I was going to make that same point one time, and somebody totally took the wind out of my sails with their comment. Damn it.
I hate it when that happens.
I know.
Right?
I was ready, too.
I was totally ready.
I was still going to make an awesome point.
Got denied. Sweet. Denied. How about you, Chris? What have you been up to?
I've been doing none flying, just to get that out of the out in the air. But I have been simming because I'm trying to get some flight time in, even if it's on the sim. It's been a pretty busy week. But I've been building. I've been working on my 700 Raptor. Got all the electronics installed, which was kind of a mind game. That's puzzle pieces to me is ESCs and battery backups and flight controllers and receivers and just trying to figure out where I want to put it all and how I want to run the wiring and all of that. So I finally got all that sorted out. Got the Raptor build actually right before. We started this. I was just doing the CGY 750 setup, getting my servos centered and all that. So it'll be pretty close to a maiden here pretty soon. I'm pretty excited about that. But I only work at it for a few minutes at a time. So
I was going to say, at least it's not like a remaiden like Mike always does.
Yeah, I'm the remaiden.
I have my share of remaidens. But the wiring is not nearly as cool on the remaiden. It's like just, however I can get it to stay on there without falling out.
Without getting tangled in the rotors.
Yeah, exactly. So right now I've got all fancy. I've got the wire braid and, I'm doing it up nice. But we'll see. If I can keep it off the ground, it'll be good. So, but yeah, I've been doing that. I haven't flown any planes lately. The Bixler got some flight time, in the last couple of weeks, as did my Tucano, of course, that we talked about before. But right now they're all hanging from the rafters. I've been playing with the Dromana Ominous. Let's throw a multi-rotor into the mix. I don't know if you guys have seen that. My son and I are having a ball with that little quadcopter.
Yeah. I almost bought one. I was flying one the other day at the hobby shop when I was there getting some more parts and stuff, and I thought about buying one, but I was like, yeah, I'll wait.
It is so awesome. It's the one thing that I don't mind my son taking out and just playing with without me, because I know he can't hurt it very easily and it can't hurt him very easily.
Yeah.
Because the rotors literally stop. You put your finger in them at full throttle and they just stop.
It's not recommended.
Not recommended, but it does. It's really interesting how they designed it. That it's not designed to protect people, but it turns out that if there's something in the control board in the e-board that will that sense, I don't know if it's amp increase or what, but it instantly stops applying torque to the motor, and it freewheels. It's really, really kind of strange. Nice. So I don't mind if he takes that off, because if he does something silly, I know he's not going to cut his finger off with it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the reason why I wanted to get one, too, was for my fiancé's sons to start flying with and hopefully get them into flying, too. So it seemed really easy to fly.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it is.
Just teach him to fly over people. It gives him all the confidence in the world.
Right. Fly over their brothers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. Just my hobby life right now is trying to get that 700 done. But again, it's bite-sized chunks in between wife taskers and other things I'm trying to write. You know, it's the end of the summer season. So as you know, the more time we want to spend in the hobby before it gets cold is the more time everything else is cropping up before it gets cold. So we've got to make the trip to the zoo, and we got to, you know, do this and fix this and... So it's been kind of hectic around the house, but I got to keep the family happy.
Right. Awesome. Cool. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, should we move on to some news?
News.
This episode of RC Hangar Time is brought to you by SimpleCopter.com, makers of simple, rugged, and unique multi-rotor frames. Are you tired of having to replace an entire frame when you only break an arm? Or are you done with having a frame that looks like everyone else's? Then you need to go to Matt Hall's SimpleCopter.com. You'll find unique tricopter and quadcopter frames. They're simple, rugged, for flyers of all skill levels. And being that they're made up from wood, you can paint them to any color you choose. And they're cheap and easy to fix as well. So go to www.SimpleCopter.com right now and order your new frame today.
Alright, who's got some news for us?
What just happened?
Sorry.
Narcolepsy.
All right, should we move on to some news?
Is there a really bad lag?
So we've got some news for us this week.
I was listening to the RC Today, the RC Today Show podcast. They were they're talking about people with a new firmware on the KK2 boards so you can fly inverted. Has anybody else heard anything about that?
Yeah, I heard something, but I kind of just, I just stopped caring.
I went out to look, and I can't find anything on it. I see one heli-free thread that talked, you know, some people are kind of talking about it, and flashing ESCs and flashing your KK2 board, and then a tricopter being able to fly inverted, but I don't know, I couldn't find out a whole lot of information about it.
It wouldn't surprise me. Everything is headed that way, so.
I heard that episode, too. That's the only thing I've ever heard about it. But everybody, yeah, like you're saying, everybody else is doing it, right? Blade's introducing the firmware, and the Invertix is doing, you know, it's all firmware-based, so.
Yeah.
Seems like it's easy enough to add, but I haven't seen.
Now, would they need 3D props for those as well?
Yeah, just a neutral prop. Yeah, it'd be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I paid attention to. I've been super busy at work, so I haven't had a lot of time to scope things out. But that did catch my interest, and I did a couple searches on it today between projects, and I couldn't really find anything either. I was hoping maybe someone else knew something about it.
No. I don't follow the KK2 stuff.
You're going to have to start, Mike. You got your first KK2 board. That's news. Mike bought from Hobby King.
Yeah, that is news, huh? I do have a KK2 board for a multi-rotor.
What?
I know, you guys' minds are just blown, right?
Speaking of multi-rotors, here's another news item. Real Flight 7.5 was announced, and it seems to be a little bit more multi-rotor focused in this latest update. So I don't know all the details, but lots of talk on their HobbyCo press release about multi-rotors and making a more realistic flying experience. So,
is the 7.5 a free upgrade or is it a purchase upgrade?
I think all of their upgrades cost. I think they're like 40-some-odd bucks.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yep. That's too bad.
Don't get me wrong. I love Real Flight, but yeah, it does. When others are offering free upgrades, it's kind of kind of hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
For sure. Cool. I've got some RC Hangar Time news. Quick little shout out from the group, since we haven't done one in a while. But this one caught my eye. Mike Castillo with that helicopter he's building.
That thing is amazing.
Aerodyne, was it search and rescue helicopter?
I think it was, it's called National Security.
Oh, yeah, that's right. National Security. That's that scale 700 size heli. That thing has got so much detail into that. That thing's going to be nice when he gets that done. He's gone and posted 100 pictures or so on the group of that. Some high detail quality stuff going on there.
He's an amazing photographer too. Somebody who enjoys taking pictures. I look at his macro shots of like the gear and belt and all that. It's like, that's good stuff there.
Yeah, those were pretty cool.
Yeah, I always enjoy seeing his stuff. So that was had to give a shout out for that, since we haven't done a shout out in a while from the group, since TJ has been missing, recovering from double knee surgery. Other than that, I don't have any other news. You guys have anything else?
Did you guys see the new release from Horizon Hobby? The B17, I think it was. Yeah, the UMX B17.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
Freaking awesome.
Nice. You going to get one?
No.
Okay.
It's not that awesome.
I can't fly UMX stuff. I'm blind, man. I can't see anything.
Alrighty. Should we move on to the main topic?
Yeah.
Is it drones?
Yes.
All right. Inverted KK2 boards.
Yeah.
Yay.
So this week we're going to talk about flying wings. Flying wings, in my opinion, are one of the most versatile aircrafts around. I mean, they're perfect for beginners, for advanced pilots. You can make them go over 100 miles an hour. You can, you know, do a lot of learning on them. There's a lot of different various kinds of wings out there, brands and people that sell them. So we'll go ahead and talk about those and our experiences with those. So I know a few of us have some wings. I don't know if Wade has a wing. Does Wade have a wing?
Of course I do.
Of course he does. What kind of wing does Wade have? What would Wade do?
Scratch built. I actually bought I traded my wing from Charles Johnson from CNS Scratch Builders. I bought him a $25 motor, and in return he bought me a kit, he built me a kit personally, and yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Was it? You said it was a scratch build kit?
Yeah, from foam board.
Yeah, I know Dustin builds his own wings. You want to go into a little bit of detail, Dustin, on the wings that you build and how you go about that?
Yeah, when I first started getting pretty heavy into planes, that was the first thing I built. I built a scratch build. I used to call it the Pink Triangle. It was 20 inches wide, or no, it was 20 inches long and about 30 inches wide. And I just stuck a Blue Wonder motor out front and had a vertical stabilizer on it. And I just used to whip that thing around like crazy. And when I got pretty good at it, started doing a bunch of rolls and flips, and I just started upgrading. I went to the next thing. I built a 30-inch wing with a KF2 airfoil, and then went to a 40, and then went to a 60, and I've built a ton of them. The airframe's fairly cheap to build. It's, like $5 worth of foam, and then you just keep moving the electronics around, and you just got to size your electronics, to the size of wing you're building.
So how are you getting these dimensions? Are you just coming up with these numbers, or is there some way of determining, the size, the width and the length of these wings that you're building?
When I first started, I watched some build videos on YouTube. There used to be a guy who used to be really active. His YouTube name was Project Flight Design. And, I built his 30-inch wing, and then I built his 40-inch wing, and the 30 didn't fly as well as I liked. But the 40-inch flew really well, and that was actually the first plane that I put a GoPro on and flew it around. I kind of built that Ford GoPro, and then I did a little FPV on it too here and there. But after that, like the 60-inch wings I built, I kind of upscaled like the 40. I kind of did my own dimensions, and you know, you just got to kind of figure out the CG and you know, the sweep and the ripcord and everything. But you know, they're pretty forgiving, in my opinion, and they take a crash pretty well too. I mean, there's not, you know, you're not going to break off a vertical stabilizer, and you know, I mean, they're just a wing. You know, they take an abuse and keep on going.
Yeah, I like the wings for that fact too. That they, you know, they take a beating pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that I get from Crash Test Hobbies. So I've had a few of those, and you know, the Assassins and the Deep Reaper, and you know, they'll take some abuse. I've thrown, you know, done a lot of FPV with the Deep Reaper and landed in some pretty crazy situations, or crashed it on the mountain and you know, have to hike up a mile up the mountain to go find it, and there's nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And he uses EPP on his wings, and that stuff's pretty much indestructible. I mean, it just bounces back.
Yeah, especially with the metal spar and the extreme packing tape and the laminate, all that stuff added into that EPO.
The stuff that I use when I build, you know, these KF2 airfoils, I use Dollar Tree foam board, and then I use that, a lot of people know it, it's like the fan fold, it's the half inch, I guess, is that EPS, I think, foam. It's Home Depot insulation, or you can get it at Lowe's. They have it in pink or blue.
Okay.
I prefer the pink, but it's a little bit brittle, so if you nose it in or you hit a tree or something like that, you know, you're going to end up with a crumple, or you're going to end up with a dent. But you know, it's so cheap. I mean, you can buy like a 4x8 sheet for, you know, like $15, and a sheet of Dollar Tree foam board is $1. So you know, you can cut quite a few wings out
from the Dollar Tree.
So I use the Dollar Tree is the bottom part, and then the insulation is the KF2 step, I guess.
Yeah, you build that up.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris? What's your experience with wings?
I built an FT Versa wing from Flight Test, downloaded the plans and printed them out, cut them on some of that Dollar Tree foam board, and it worked out really well. I liked it a lot, actually. I started out as a tractor with their swappable series. You know, they have the swappable power pods that you can move from plane to plane. So I had a couple of Bloody Wonders and then the Versa wing, and I just swapped that pod around as a tractor. And then later on, I decided I wanted to do FPV with it. So I moved it around and rear mounted it as a pusher, which I didn't like it nearly as much actually as a pusher. But yeah, it's really cool. I just, I use the dollar board, and then on this one, I took some of that colored packing tape that you can get from, like, I don't know, packingtape.com or wherever the heck that place is, and, you know, colored it, but also made it almost indestructible and waterproof by putting that packing tape skin all over it.
Right. Don't get way started on the color packing tape. I think you ordered a couple of cases the last time we talked about it.
That's right. I remember that.
You have no idea what I did with that.
We don't want to know.
And you're out already. Yeah. So I swapped it around. So my problem with, and it's the only wing I have really. So it's not like I'm super experienced with wings, but it was really easy to launch it as a tractor. It just, you know, you take it and you toss it like an airplane. But when I made it into a pusher, you can't grab it from behind and throw it. So you kind of have to do the sidearm, you know, from the wing, sort of a toss. And I just never felt comfortable launching that thing with the prop in the back. And I didn't spend enough time really with it. It's still alive. It's just down in the basement, not getting much airtime. But
right.
I wasn't as comfortable with it, and it seemed like it didn't fly as well. And I'd heard some stories. I'm actually curious, those of you guys who are experienced with the wings, you know, I'd heard some stories or read online that, you know, the airflow is different when the prop's in the back. You don't have that airflow being pushed over the control surfaces as you do if it's in a tractor configuration. And I'm curious, does that really matter? Does the prop airflow, does that actually give you enough extra lift to make it beneficial to be in the front?
So my experience with that is that it's a lot easier to launch a tractor than it is a pusher wing. And I think I honestly think it's for that exact reason, is you're not pushing the air over top of your control surfaces. So usually when I launch, if I don't get a nice good throw, it'll dip down to the ground, and then, you know, once it starts picking up speed, you know, it'll take off. But on the tractor wings that I've used, I mean, you just rip it up and let it go and it takes off. You know, you can do a lot of vertical starts, or, I mean, they're so much easier to launch than the pushers are.
So okay, well, just to, for the listeners out there that don't have any clue to what a flying wing is or whatever, explain to them what a tractor setup is so that we're not too confused here.
A puller.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Motors out front.
Right.
So you're
pusher.
Pusher, the motors out the back.
Exactly. And I wanted to bring up a point too. If for those that haven't flown a wing and they're going to get into wings, yeah, launching it, don't grab it from the back on a pusher, because I've seen people try to throw it from the nose or underneath, and when they release it, that prop will catch their arm or their hand and cut them up pretty good. So you always want to grab the side of the wing and kind of just do an overhand toss over your head. You know, hold it down and then just bring it up over your head.
See, I learned that. I was going to say, I learned that the hard way when I had my UMX Striker. I was going to say my UMX Striker, even though it was tiny, has like a 3,400 kV freaking motor on it. It's unbelievable. And so one of the guys in the group was like, here, take these props. So, you know, it'll make it go faster. And I have still to this day scars on my knuckles from trying to launch that little bitty thing and just tearing up my knuckles.
Yeah, that's some pretty scary stuff. I've seen some with the smaller wings that you can grab them from the back and toss them in the air, not under power. And then once you get it out of your hands, then you can throttle it up and take it off. But that takes a bit of practice to do. And it's still not as safe as grabbing it by the front of the wing, by the cord of the wing, and just tossing it that way.
Are you guys left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed. I am.
Right.
See, I'm left-handed. And so the way that I launch is I hold the front leading edge on the left-hand side with my left hand. And then usually what I'll do is I'll throttle up, and then I'll, you know, get my right hand on the elevator, you know, getting it down, and then I kind of throw it like a frisbee. And mm-hmm. Every time I go to a field and I try to help someone, or I watch someone, you know, that's right-handed and try to do that same thing, they just can't do it. They can't throw across their body. They can't get on the elevator stick. So I've never had a problem launching. I kind of frisbee style it a little bit, but
yeah,
right-handers, it always seems like they have just the hardest time.
So I thought it would be the other way around, because I've seen a video of somebody hand launching a plane that was left-handed the other day, and they kind of struggled with it, and it cartwheeled down the path.
Yeah, I take guys out, or I for first-time flyers, you know, I got a couple of buddies that I try to get into wings, and they're all right-handed and they can't do what I do. And I don't know if it's just because they're not coordinated or.
I can see that though, because I mean, so it makes sense, right? The frisbee throw across the body, if you've got it in your right hand and you're trying to throw across your body, you've got your left hand to control your transmitter. The problem is, you know, if you're flying mode two, it's the right stick that you need to be controlling to get that elevator.
Yeah.
So you're holding it with your left hand on the left side. there's no way to really reach that right stick. So it's, I could see where that would be a challenge. I would almost think it would be easier for somebody to hold the transmitter in the right hand and then swing across left-handed, right? And that's where the coordination problem probably comes in is, you know, some people can't even eat with their offhand, let alone throw something. But yeah, I could see where if you're trying to throw it with your strong arm, your weak hand is in the wrong position to control that stick if you're right-handed.
Yeah, it does take a second to get back onto the sticks, huh?
Yeah, I think the key, and I've watched a guy, there's a couple guys at our flying club here that fly wings, and I watched them launch, and they're flying pushers, so they're rear propped, and I think the key is don't be afraid to really chunk that thing, you know, into the sky to give you more time to get a hold of the controls and also get up some airspeed if it's going to start to dip down. Because I think when I was trying it before, I was a little bit afraid to throw it too hard, you know, because I wanted to get control of it with the transmitter. So I'd get it up in the air and then try and let the throttle do all the work. And I think I probably put myself at a disadvantage by not giving it enough airspeed right off the get-go.
Did you guys see my video I just posted? Okay, basically how I launch mine, most of my wings, is I'll take the nose of the wing. Like, I'll grab right onto the nose for a pusher, and this makes it a lot easier because, like, the pop wings especially, and I'll hold it right by the nose on a pusher, and I literally just toss it straight over my head, and it's, like, it's the easiest way. You don't have to worry about anything unless you really drop it and you prop yourself in the face.
I always wondered why you had those lines cut in your forehead.
Those are just wrinkles, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, propping the face is a minor setback for the day, but yeah, I'm watching that video, and I've seen people toss like that before.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll have to throw that in the show notes.
I got you think that's one. Easy?
Yeah, that's easiest. I feel way more comfortable doing that, actually, because you can get more oomph on the throw. You get a longer, like, stroke, and it you can put it at the angle that you want.
And I've seen a lot of people when they do two-person launches, and this kind of came into play with my 60-inch wings. I was carrying about 6,600 milliamps worth of battery, plus my GoPro, plus my FPV equipment, and my buddy would just hold it in front of him and then, you know, hand launch it over top of his head too, and it pretty much had to go straight up when I let that thing go.
Yeah. And I've had some. My big FPV wing was like I said earlier, the Deep Reaper, and it was loaded down, like you said, with all batteries. You know, I had 10,000 milliamps of batteries and all the FPV gear and GoPro. And when I was launching it by myself, I actually found that, you know, running with it for a few yards helped too, just to get some momentum going behind it. You know, full throttle, run with it for a few yards, and then let it go out of my hand. You don't even have to throw it or anything, and that seemed to help too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be afraid to, you know, let someone launch it for you. You know, take a buddy with you and let him launch it, you know, the first couple of times. Get used to it first, definitely, before you just try to go out and do it yourself.
Sure. Now, with the popularity of inexpensive flight stabilization units, Do you guys fly stabilization at all on the wings?
No.
So no, I don't. I tried that Orange RX three-axis stabilization, and I didn't like it.
I threw mine away.
Taking it off. Yeah, I don't know. It really didn't do anything for me. It actually, I felt like it actually hindered, you know, what I was trying to do more than it helped.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to plug any particular company, but, you know, the two main companies out there that did that were Orange RX and obviously Spectrum with their AS3X. I feel like AS3X, I haven't used it on wings, but I've used it on other airplanes, like the big giant Cub, Carbon Cub.
Yeah.
That has it, and I like the programmability on that one better. I like how it doesn't fight you. It actually kind of works with you, but never on a wing.
Are you familiar with Lemon RX?
Yes, I actually have it 12-channel Lemon RX on my Hex.
Okay, yeah. I think that they came out with a receiver with a stabilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Which would be worth trying.
For the money? Yeah.
Is it a Lemon?
I hope not. It's the strangest name. You wouldn't think that you would want your electronics to be a Lemon, but I don't think that made the translation when they came up with an English version of the name.
Kind of like the FUBAR.
Yeah, or the Afro ESC.
Like, at least Afro, they know what they're getting into, right? They put a picture of a guy with an Afro on there, so somebody got it, at least.
Hobby eventually. King is so racist.
But that Afro wasn't... that was actually done by the Simon Kay and Rolf, wasn't it? Wasn't that a joint combo with them and then just sold through Hobby King?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was some sort of a partnership. I'm running, actually, Afro ESCs on my tricopter, so...
Really?
They work okay.
Well, I didn't know anybody had those.
Yep. I've got them, they came pre-flash with the Simon Kay, so it was a good budget buy, and they've worked great for me. I know some people have had trouble with them in the DT750 motors, but I haven't had any, so...
I've got the Afros on my new Mini VTEL also, the 12 amps. That's what I'm putting on there.
Nice.
Nice and small, too, huh?
Yeah. You know, that Orange RX, the stabilization, I guess I shouldn't be so negative about it because it was cheap and easy. And, you know, when I was flying, like, with my GoPro and it was windy, I could turn that thing on and, you know, it would stabilize it out pretty good. But, you know, as far as, like, maneuverability, if I'm, like, out, you know, running circles or... you know, trying to be aerobatic with it, I just fought it. And so I, more times than not, I just turned it off. And so, you know, I think people just need to find, you know, if that's what's for them, if it's going to help them out or hinder them. You know, I mean, it worked. It just wasn't for me.
Would a stop sign be considered a wing?
Does it fly?
Yes.
Then yes.
I remember the flying stop sign. That was a long time ago that we talked about that. What episode did we talk about that on?
I don't know. On my YouTube channel, with a whopping 204 views for this video, it says 1 year ago.
It was quite a while that we talked about that. I forgot all about that thing. Whatever happened to this flying stop wing?
I put it in. I put way too much down thrust, and when I'd full throttle it, the motor was way too powerful, and it literally caused itself to do an inverted loop.
Now it's a yield sign.
So what are some of your guys' favorite wing companies out there? I mean, there's Pop Wings is a good starter wing, but that's, you know, it's not the greatest out there. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but most people that get flying wings are going to do FPV or something to that effect with it, correct? I mean, that's the most popular thing for the flying wings, I would think.
I would bet it's combat. Combat's
over FPV. I was
going to
say combat second, but I thought the FPV would be number one. But you think combat's number one, huh?
Yeah, the thing about a wing is, you know, there's no fuselage, so there's no place to hide your gear. I mean, you got to embed it in the wing and... So, you know, there's a lot of guys that do it, but, you know, I think there's a lot of guys that, you know, either strap a fuselage on the bottom or they pick something, you know, that's... I think they're definitely using Elevon mixing in their platform, but I don't know if it's just a straight wing that's going to be the first choice for FPV, but I could be wrong. I mean, that's just my opinion.
It just depends on what you're trying to do with the wing. You know, if you're doing, like... Yeah, long distance is good because you don't have a lot of extra weight. It's just a freaking airfoil with crap strapped to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some of the wings allow that. But I think for proximity flying and combat, like, people really love that.
So you guys prefer having a regular airplane over a wing for FPV?
I don't know. I guess it depends what I'm trying to get. You know, I mean, the Bixler's fun with FPV, but my FPV 60 was fun too. It's kind of two different experiences, you know?
Yeah.
So fast and low on the 60 inch FPV and then kind of high and sore and just floaty, you know, gliding around was fun with the Bixler. So I don't know. I guess it could go either way.
Yeah, I see. Right. I see the wings as a bit sporty.
That makes sense.
FPV perspective, it seems like it would be not as relaxing.
See, and I preferred the flying wing over anything for FPV because I like that, you know, low, fast, you know, agility movement through things while I'm flying FPV for the kind of videos and for my flying style that I liked. So that's why I'm not sure that I would do FPV on the Bixler yet, just for my flying style and my preferences.
Yeah.
But haven't you guys seen the right wings?
Yeah, they're okay.
They're okay? They seem like they're a bit of work because you have to epoxy them, correct?
Yeah, I mean, epoxy is going to be your best bet in my mind anyways. Either that or your freaking welder cement. But I like the Chimera the best.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet wing. Yeah. I really like Crash Test Hobby stuff. I like to build my own stuff. I built that Versa, too, that Chris was talking about. I never flew it, but I like the concept of being able to have kind of a hollow shell and, you know, stuff your gear inside or FPV or whatever inside of it.
Yeah, so that's actually what I was thinking about when you were talking about that the wing doesn't have a fuselage, so there's not a good place to put all your stuff. But on the Versa wing, it's actually the opposite. I consider it's all fuselage. It's all hollow body places to stick stuff inside there. And, of course, I don't know if you've seen the blunt nose version, which makes it even easier.
Yeah, I did see that blunt nose, and that looked really interesting. And that's kind of actually where I was going with the Versa. That's kind of why I never finished it, because I thought, that blunt nose would be so much cooler, and then I just never did anything. I kind of lost interest in it, I guess.
Yeah, the hardest part about it for me was getting the batteries buried. Even just the 2200 milliamp, you know, standard, 3S batteries, just barely fit inside that wing. But with a blunt nose, I could probably really take advantage of that extra real estate.
Yeah.
And most of the wings with that blunt nose are they're literally typically your standard wings, and then they just have a center extension.
Right.
You know, yeah. And that's what I like about like Crash Test Hobby, is because, you know, you can get like a 9-inch extension for the freaking mid part.
Yeah.
Gives you tons of room.
Have you guys seen the Firefly 6?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I did. That's pretty sweet. It's the VTOL wing.
Yeah, it's got like three motors on it.
Yeah, I did see that one too.
Yeah, that one looks pretty awesome. But that's a pretty spendy airframe. That's like $400 for that thing. That's just, but it looks awesome. I mean, looks pretty cool. what are some of your guys'... You know, you say Crash Test Hobbies, Dustin. How about you guys? What kind of wings do you guys tend to stick with or fly? It's besides home built, or is it that it?
Well, the only wings that I've actually ever owned are pop wings and home scratch built ones.
Yeah.
But the Chimera is the one I really want, because from everything I see, that's literally like the most stable. Like just everything about it. I know there's a lot of work involved to get it ready, but. VAS makes it so easy. Like, they've got everything for you.
Isn't Stone Blue selling the Chimera now?
Yeah, Stone Blue is FPVwing.com. A bunch of people are selling it.
Yeah, I saw that on their site. That does look interesting, too. I'm curious to find out more about that, look more into details about that. So how'd you feel about the pop wing?
I liked it, man. That thing was literally indestructible. And it was to the point where I got a little overconfident with it on the 900mm version. And the only thing it had on there was a little T-motor, which was cool for an ARF to come with a T-motor, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really nice. But, I mean, I got a little overconfident. I was flying it with a 2200 on the front. And I was flying it in some hefty winds, and a storm was coming in, and it actually ended up just blowing it away.
So you had a flyaway.
yeah. A Tech 1 flyaway, and I found it across the road, and there was nothing wrong with it. Like, I picked it up and flew it back.
You know, I think if I was going to suggest anything to anybody, you know, those pop wings are pretty cheap. They're fast. They get away from you quick. I don't know if they fly the best. I would honestly, you know, I would just save my money and just try to build something. I think that Versa looks way cool. It looks like it flies well. With the blunt nose, like Chris said, there's a ton of options with it. You know, there's a ton of different plans out there for wings. I would say just bite the bullet and try to build something, you know?
Yeah. And Stone, I mean, not Stone Blue Airlines, Experimental Airlines is the way to go. That first video I shared tonight was I literally still had a DX5E. That's how new I was. I was less than 6 months in the hobby. I built it, followed his plans. It cost me like $60 total. And I flew it, and the thing was over 100-mile-an-hour wing. You know what I mean? And it was made of foam board and freaking packing tape. Like, that was it.
Yeah, they are very simple and easy to build, right?
Yes.
I guess that's one more thing that you know, I guess you could try to figure it out yourself. But, you know, if you don't have a computer radio, you know, if you're trying to do Elevon mixing on an old, like, DX4 or a DX5, you know, some of those other cheap radios, I think you'd probably drive yourself crazy trying to figure out how to program it. So that may be one thing you want to think about too, is if you're going to get into wing, it's so much easier if you can do Elevon mixing, you know, if you got a DX6i, or, you know, if you've got, you know, something else.
Right.
That's a good point about the mixing too, is the wing is such a unique airframe that doesn't have the standard, you know, ailerons, rudder and elevator that you would be used to on a standard, you know, airframe. That it's a good opportunity for people just to learn how to try something different. The Elevon mixing really is kind of a unique concoction that makes that thing fly. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, with these computer radios, it's so easy now. You just select Elevon mixing and it's done. If, you know, you check your ailerons, which way they're going, and if they're reversed, you just reverse it and they both reverse for you. You don't have to do any kind of mixing like it was back in the day, you know?
And that's one thing to look out for too, is when you're talking, like, if you're going to scratch build something yourself, or even I guess if you're going to buy something, like some of those cheap, like the Hobby King Orange RX, and there's a couple of other cheap radios that they don't have a lot of the options to reverse your servos, and the Elevon mixing's not the best, and so what you'll find is that you have to flip a servo or flip a control horn or something to try to make things work a little bit better. So that's something you got to watch out for too.
Awesome.
I see a lot of people doing the pop wing, and then it looks like it comes in two pieces, and people are turning it into a blunt nose with another middle piece. I'm not familiar with pop wing, so I was kind of Googling it while we were talking just to see what it was about. It looks like it's similar to the Hobby King, like Tech Sumo, sort of just a
same thing.
Cut out foam, yeah. But I see a lot of guys turning those into blunt noses now. And all the same rules apply too. I was helping somebody out at the field. You know, there's a tendency to put all of your electronics right down the middle, you know, by where the motor and the ESC and the battery and the receiver all just kind of lined up there. This guy was flying and he was having range problems where he would lose control for a few minutes momentarily and then would regain it. And come to find out, I was looking at his setup and his receiver antenna was laying right up next to his motor wires from the ESC, and you had this attenuation with all this electronics happening and, you know, right next to each other. So I helped him get that receiver wire off to the side somewhere where it was not next to the other electronics, and suddenly he had, you know, full range again. So the problem with the wings is you can put them together with very little instruction and make them fly, but all those principles and rules about, you know, how to wire properly still have to come into play there.
So I think we've pretty much covered for the most part of the wings. You guys have anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, not bad show for winging it.
Yeah, right?
Somebody had to do it.
That's a good pun. How about a wing haiku, Wade? Put you on the spot.
Why are you going to put me on the spot?
Just wing it.
Okay. Or find a wingman. Give me 2 minutes, and then basically I'll do it. All right, I got to think about this. I'm not on my game right now.
He's got to hurry and Google it.
No, I know what a damn haiku is. Stupid.
I had to Google it.
I did the haikus before.
Yeah, this is. We used to do that a few times here and there on the shows. They were pretty fun.
Yeah,
that's old school RC Hanger time.
I still got time, right?
We're waiting on you. Time's running out, though.
I don't know. Okay, let me put it this way. And this is going to be legit, like, by the the format of a haiku. It says, one host said to the other while flying a wing, "This wing flies funny."
That is awesome, dude. That's words to live by, right?
Awesome. All right, I think that'll wrap it up.
You've been listening to RC Hanger Time, a podcast dedicated to the RC aircraft hobby. For more info, you can go to our website at www.rchangertime.com or look for us on Facebook at RC Hanger Time. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email us. For Mike, it's mike@rchangertime.com. For Wade, that's wade@rchangertime.com. Dustin, you guessed it, dustin@rchangertime.com. And for TJ, it's crash@rchangertime.com. What the heck? Anyways, again, thanks for listening and keep flying.